Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Leviticus 23, and we're taking a look at the Jewish feasts prescribed by God in the Old Testament when God gave Moses the law, and we get now all the different times that they were to come together to honor God and celebrate things that God had done. I encourage you to read the chapter. However, today what I'm going to do is I'm just going to focus on the feasts and help us to understand them better and see some of the things that ended up becoming fulfilled through Jesus through these Old Testament feasts. So the first one on the calendar is Passover, and that happened on the first month of their year. The Jewish years were not dated by January 1st like ours. Their first month was Nisan, and the 14th day of the month was the day that they had Passover. Now, that was the day that God saved them from the Pharaoh in Egypt when he brought his spirit of destruction over, and they put the blood of the lambs over their doorposts. And they were asked to remember that day, Passover, when God saved them forever. It was a perpetual thing that they were to honor God and celebrate Passover every year. And indeed, that's the day that Jesus, you know, he got together that night of the Last Supper after sunset, because then it would be, Passover. And he celebrated Passover with his guys. He was arrested on Passover later that morning, early morning. Then he was, tried early in the morning on Passover. And then he went to the cross at noon. He was on the cross for 3 hours and died. And then they took his body off the cross before the Sabbath, which would have begun at sunset. So Jesus Christ saved us by the blood of the Lamb, his own blood, on the one special day when God saved Israel by the blood of the Lamb on the original Passover. And, one of the amazing things, there's so many to it, but that, when you cook that lamb and ate of that lamb to celebrate Passover, and the night even they celebrated it, you were not supposed to break the bones of the Passover lamb. And indeed, when Jesus is on the cross, there were two thieves on his left and his right, and they broke the legs of both the thieves because they wanted him to die quicker. They couldn't hold themselves up with broken legs so that they could get the bodies off the cross before the Sabbath began at sunset. They, if you're waiting around watching people die, you'd rather have it be quicker instead of just having to wait, because then you got to stand there and wait for them to die, make sure no one does anything with the bodies. So they wanted him to die quicker, but Jesus gave up his spirit and died. And instead of breaking his bones, they pierced him with a spear in his side, and out came blood and water. And indeed, it was prophesied that Jesus would be pierced for our transgressions. So everything came true. His bones weren't broken. He was pierced just as the Old Testament said, and he died on Passover. Hallelujah. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, that is incredible, by the way. But then the next day became the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unleavened bread was a sign of sin. Leaven was a sign of sin. And also, when the original Passover took place, they were supposed to make unleavened bread. If you have leaven in your bread, you have to let it rise. And they were going to have to leave Israel in haste, so he had them make bread without leaven in it. And I mean, this is such a special thing, this Passover, and now the fulfillment through Jesus, that it became a week-long festival called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where they would not eat leaven in their bread. So then, on the next day, very interesting, on what we call Resurrection Sunday, was a first fruits offering to the Lord. And early in that year, it's a warmer climate, they would have the first of their barley harvest. So on 2 days, essentially after Passover, they would offer their first fruits to the Lord. And that was also the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and he is the first fruits offered to God. Hallelujah. And, whenever you brought in, they would offer other first fruits throughout the year. So when different crops came in, they would always offer the first harvest, the first part of it to God, to the temple, to the priests. And that was the first fruits was right after Passover on the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Jesus was the first fruits. His resurrection was the first fruits. And now the church has become part of that blessing. And we are going to be resurrected too. Hallelujah. Because of our faith in Jesus. That's really cool how that all has come together through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We see all these things that we've talked about already happening. Hallelujah. Now, even more, what is incredible is that 50 days after that, they would have the Feast of Pentecost. Pena stands for 50, and that would also be the 50 days after the barley harvest. So now other crops are being brought in, and they would offer that to God, and they would have a feast, the Feast of Pentecost. And it was a major feast. Everyone was supposed to come to Jerusalem. People would come to Jerusalem for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They'd come for sure for Pentecost. And then the Feast of Booths, they were required to come as well. And we'll get to that later. But what's interesting is when everyone was in Jerusalem 50 days later after the death and resurrection of Jesus, this is when the Holy Spirit came upon all who believe. And it happened on Penta, 50 days after the Passover is when Jesus came in his spirit to all those who believe. Pretty incredible. Again, God fulfilling something that took place in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and giving the Holy Spirit to his church. After that, then the next one, there was quite a break in festivals, and the next one would be the Feast of Trumpets. And that's a really interesting one that has not been fulfilled yet. And very well, maybe something very special may happen on that day. So listen to this. I'm reading from HebrewForChristians.com, by the way, on this particular feast here. Ever since Isaac was spared by virtue of the ram being caught in the thicket by its horn, God seems to have enjoyed the trumpet. He used it when Joshua conquered Jericho. In Leviticus 25, 8 through 10, he specified its use in having trumpets proclaim liberty throughout all the land and in the inhabitants thereof. In Leviticus 23, 24, which is what we're reading today, requires that in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets occurs in September, and this, you know, again, this is the next thing after Pentecost. And it's really interesting, you know, as you guys know, that there's going to be lots of trumpets in the future. One of them is going to happen at the rapture. And this very well may be if God decides to want to coincide his rapture with a special day. It likely is going to be on the Feast of Trumpets. We don't know that for sure, but that's what this article says as well. They would blow this trumpet in order to bring everyone in from harvesting the fields. And they were supposed to then report to the temple. And the high priest would actually blow the trumpet to bring everyone in from harvesting. Now, when the trumpet sounds in accordance with 1 Corinthians 15:51, living believers will cease their harvest and rise from the earth. The church will be taken out of the world. So that's what this site also believes, is that the rapture will take place at the Feast of Trumpets, which is happens in September. But, you know, we'll see if God decides. And he's done it throughout history. He's used his Jewish religious festivals as dates to fulfill things in the New Testament. Perhaps he will for that one as well. Now, the Day of Atonement was that one special day of year. And this is all talked about in the chapter, by the way, was that one special day a year where the high priest would go in to the most holy place, and only on that day of year, and he offered a sacrifice on the Day of Atonement for all of Israel. And it's also called Yom Kippur, and it was a Sabbath day where they were, you know, supposed to not work, and they would offer this sacrifice on behalf of everyone. And that's really interesting. You know, Jesus, you know, I guess God could have had Jesus die on the Day of Atonement, but instead he did it on the day that the Passover lamb was sacrificed on Passover. That one is really fulfilled through Jesus, although it didn't happen on the day. Jesus is the once and final sacrifice, just like that was a one-day special sacrifice for the year on the Day of Atonement. Perhaps something will happen when Jesus' second coming in regards to that Day of Atonement. All right, so the next one then is called either the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. And again, this is talked about in this chapter. But they would, in September, they would gather for a week and they would live outside in booths, or they would make plants come over their head, plants from around the region. They would gather those and make them as like a shelter. And the reason for that was to remember that God had them escape Egypt. And imagine, by the way, that big horde of people coming out of Egypt and living in the desert and them having to survive and also get out of the sun, you know, out in the desert. We don't often think about that a lot, but all those people had to live, and they had to make temporary shelters for themselves in order that they wouldn't just bake out there in the desert. You know, eventually I'm sure they got more and more tents, but when they first came out, they didn't have enough stuff, you know, to do all that. So they had to provide shelter through plants. And the Feast of Booths is a way for the Jewish people to get together and pretend like they were in the desert and just to remember what God did to provide for them when they escaped Egypt. And that's what the Feast of Booths is all about. Now, there's a couple other festivals that are not talked about in the Old Testament, but they are festivals that are practiced by Jewish people today. And that one of them is called Hanukkah, or the Dedication of Lights. And the Jewish people were really oppressed in the intertestamental period, meaning between Old and New Testaments. And they had to fight for victory. And they did get victory in a battle in between the end of the Old Testament, which was around 300 BC, and then, you know, roughly 0 BC for, you know, the birth of Jesus. So in that 300 years, they had a battle that they won. And as a result, they now celebrate the victory that they had, and that became Hanukkah. So it's not written about in the Old Testament. And then finally, another celebration they have, that one takes place in November and December, Hanukkah. And then finally, Purim is another one that they now celebrate. And that has to do with the book of Esther, where God used Esther to save the Jews from being killed, which would have happened around 400 BC. You might recall that story. I happen to be going through that Bible book with some folks now, and it's really quite beautiful and interesting to study. But anyways, the Feast of Purim celebrates that God spared Israel at that time of Esther in the Bible. So they've now made that a special holiday, so to speak, as well. So there you have it. You know, it's interesting to think about how many things the Jews had throughout the year that they would commemorate the things that God has done. So now, you know, we kind of do, you know, like Christmas and Resurrection Sunday, and perhaps a, you know, a Good Friday or kind of a thing. And I think it's good for us to remember throughout the year to pause and to celebrate. Now, some of these festivals were week long, you know, and what a beautiful thing it would be for the Jewish people to get together and celebrate what God had done for a week long period. And I think sometimes in Christianity, we are missing out in not remembering all these Old Testament things, because this is still our God. Our God did these things, and we are now part of the church. We've been blessed in a sense to come under the blessing of Abraham and become part of the family of God. So all these things he's done before, those are an extension he's done for us too. And it's okay to remember what God has done all throughout history, not just for the New Testament church, but also in the Old Testament. So, hallelujah. Thank you, God. You are worthy of all of these festivals and sacrifices and commemorations, because you've done marvelous things. And let's continue to remember God all throughout the year and every day. And I thank you for being in the Word like you are. I know that God is pleased when you spend time with Him and remember Him. Hallelujah, and God bless you all.